I am Sally. I am a compulsive overeater and a food addict. And hello, everyone. And yes, as Blythe mentioned, we lost Jen, and I did get to meet her in person. And it had been a while. My sponsor would set up these luncheons, and people from around the area would get together and have lunch together. And she says, "Oh, I would really like to go, but I don't drive." I said, "Well, I'll come and get you." And she's like, "That's a 45-minute drive just to come and get me." I said, "Yeah, so." And so we did that on a couple of different occasions. And then the first one, when it got over with, by the time we got back to her house, it was time for this 2 o'clock group that she and I attended. And everybody was like, "What was it like? What was it like?" And I said, "It was like two friends that just got together. I mean, I don't know why it didn't seem like, oh my God, but I was seeing her on a daily basis, and it was just like, okay, so now we finally see each other in person." Yes, I gave her a big hug when I saw her. You bet. Because she was the very first one, other than my sponsor, she was the very first one to reach out to me. And that meant a lot. And I will miss her. I will miss her. I got abstinent with her, and I got abstinent with Blythe, and I got abstinent with Brittany. And I especially got abstinent with my sponsor. You know, she told me 301 plan, 3 meals a day, nothing in between, one day at a time. And Carol, if you could put those pictures up for me, I kind of like to do that to show the people what it was like and what happened and what it's like today.
Sally, I picked five out of what you sent me.
That's fine. That's fine.
Okay.
Just let's go ahead with the slideshow, and I'll try and remember exactly how long ago each picture was. Okay, that was about 5 years ago, I think. That's my grandnephew Nathaniel. This was up at my sister's house, and as you can see, my stomach sticking out there, and I was leaning back, and how fat my face was. I still wasn't at my heaviest there. Go ahead, Carol. That was about the same time period, and you can see that I'm trying my darndest to not look heavy as I actually was, but yeah, it's about the same time period. That was at my heaviest. That was in February of 2020. I weighed 267 pounds in that picture. That's me on the left, obviously. Now, that one was not too long ago. I got to see Carol in person in Lawrence, Kansas, on my way back home from vacation out in Denver. So, as you can see, it was really funny because she said, "Oh my God, you're so tall." And I said, "Oh my God, you're so little." I said, "You're tiny." And it was just wonderful after 3 years of knowing Carol to finally get to see her in person. So, did you do the car? Nope, two, three, four. So is that the last one? You're muted, Carol. If that's
I'm sorry, Sally. I thought I selected one of the car ones, but I didn't. It didn't
Oh,
get in
okay.
the deck, and I don't know why.
Okay, that was the one I wanted to show because that's what I looked like. A little over a year, about a year after I had started OA, because at 267 pounds, you saw what I looked like. And I lost the weight. There's the car. That was my poor old minivan that was breaking down. That's what I look like. That's what I look like now. I can still wear that same outfit. And that was in 2021. June of 2021. So that's what I look like now. My sponsor goes through the steps with you, and that's what I would like to kind of do. Step one is we admitted we were powerless over food and our lives became unmanageable. When I finally agreed to that, that was my point of surrender. I knew I had a problem with food. I knew I couldn't do it on my own. I didn't know really what I was going to be able to do. But when I saw that picture of myself at 267 pounds, I'm like, this is it. Something's got to change. And My sponsor is my sponsor in two programs, and OA is one of them. And I got a hold of her and I said, we need to talk. And she's like, okay. And so we met and she gave me the 301 plan. And I said, okay, what's the diet? She says, I don't have a diet for you. It's the 301 plan, and you turn your will and your life over the care of God if you understand God. And I was like, well, that doesn't really help me a whole lot. But I found that I did go see a nutritionist, a dietitian, and I said, I don't know, a carb from a protein from whatever. What am I, what do I do? She gave me kind of a food plan, and I have followed that food plan. I remember when I about the size that I was when you saw that picture of me in front of the van, I went into my sponsor's house. She had had hip replacement, and she said, "What are you gonna, how much more weight are you gonna lose?" I said, "I don't know. That's up to God. I gave that to God a long, long, long time ago. He'll let me know." So to admit that I was powerless over food is to admit that I had a mental obsession and a physical allergy. And my biggest one is to process sugar. And so I've become a very good nutrition label reader. And I stay away from stuff that I think will possibly trigger me. And I can remember too, Blythe laughs at me about this one because I went to Christmas, or it was in July. I just started coming to OA and I was pissing and moaning about, sorry for the language, complaining about not being able to have fudge and caramels for Christmas. My sister makes homemade caramels and fudge. And I was like, I can't ever have them again. And I was telling this to my sister, and she says, well, maybe you can have just one of each. And I said, Susie, I can't eat just one of each. And that was like, bam, right in my forehead. Oh my God, I am a compulsive overeater because I can't eat just one. My sister sent home a plate of each with me. I have a 2-hour drive from that place to my home, and they were all gone by the time I got home. Now, if that isn't a compulsive eater, I don't know what is. And so that's when I learned I had to surrender to that fact. I cannot eat that. I have an allergy of that of the body. Once I put that in, I have an obsession too. I want what I want when I want it. And that's not only food. My sponsor has kindly advised me that that can be a character defect that I can work on. But anyway, so I know that I have an obsession over it. Now, that doesn't make me gain weight. It's when I take it into my body and my body reacts to it. One is too many, a thousand's not enough. And I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's cookies or fudge or cake or ice cream or whatever. I have an obsession and I have an allergy. So that's step one. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. I knew that could happen because, like I said, I'm already in another 12-step program. So it was like, but how does that work with food? How does that work with food? Well, it works the same way. Step three, made a decision to turn my will and my life over the care of God as I understand God. Well, first of all, the first three words are made a decision. That's all I'm doing in step three. For me to turn my will and my life over the care of God is change my attitudes and my actions. Oh God. Change my thoughts and my actions. Yes, my thoughts and my actions. That's from Joe and Charlie tape. If you ever get one, get one. They're good. But that made more sense to me. My will and my life. Well, what do I do? Well, it's my thoughts and my actions. We read a story the other night at another meeting, and it said in there, not everything that goes through your brain has to come out your mouth. My mom used to tell me that a long time ago, and she was never in a 12-step program, but she told me, Sally, not everything that goes through your brain has to come out your mouth. So I know I got to turn my will and my life, my thoughts and my actions over the care of God. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of myself. Well, that's picking out everybody that I've got a resentment against because they didn't do things my way. But when I sit back and I think about it, I can tell you what I did to every one of those people, but I don't know what it did to them. That comes later in this program. But that has really made me think. Step five, admitted to God, to myself, another human being, the exact nature of my wrongs. My sponsor firmly convinced me that I lived a life of fear. I would come across as so self-confident, but I was a little girl scared to death of life. And I hate that about myself, but it's the truth. You know, I have grown up more in this program than I ever did in the other 12-step program. I don't know if it's because I'm taking spirituality so much more seriously in this program. And it's not that I don't like to have fun. If you get to know me, you know I love to have fun, always. But this is life and death, as we have seen. This is life and death. And I'm not ready to go yet. First of all, I don't know if God's ready for me yet. I mean, he's got enough work keeping me the way I am, you know, keeping me in recovery here on earth. What is he going to do with me if I get up there? You know, oh. But anyway, so admitted to God, I have to tell him. And I thought, well, why do I have to tell him? He already knows everything that I do. No, it's me confessing to God what I have done. So I let him know I know what I've done. Myself, I have to be open and honest with myself. What are my character defects? And then to another human being. Well, that's my sponsor. And that's the first time I've ever done a fifth step with my sponsor. I'd done fifth steps before with another program, but it was always with a stranger because I thought I'm never going to see them again. So, good deal to do it with your sponsor because you can get some really good advice from doing that. Okay. Step six. That's where we talk about character defects. Became willing to make amends. No, step six. We're entirely ready to have our defects of character removed from us. Well, there's some I still love. You know, I don't want to give that up yet. Well, you know, we're entirely ready to have God remove these defects of character. Well, what am I going to do with that? Well, first of all, I got to know which ones they are. I have a list now, thank you, sponsor, of what my character defects are. And some I have turned from a defect into an asset. And that's my stubbornness. I changed stubbornness to perseverance. I want sobriety in food. I want sobriety in my other program. So that makes me stubborn enough to do what I have to do to keep it. Okay. So step seven is humbly ask God to remove these defects of character, these shortcomings. I was talking to my sponsor the other day, and I said, you know, I said, I gave up pop for Lent 1 year. I gave up my protein bars for Lent. I said, I don't have anything to give up to God for, you know, Lent next year. And she says, how about five of your character defects? I'm like, oh, crap. You know, maybe I won't pick them back up again. It's an idea. So humbly ask God to remove my shortcomings. Okay, eight, my list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Okay, I know who I hurt from my list in the fourth step. And I've added people onto that. You know, some don't even know that I hurt them, you know. And what I have found, and this was a good one because I thought you just made a list of everybody that you hurt. Well, you do, but I got three columns. I have the column that's okay, these are the people I'm going to make amends to as soon as possible. Then I have, well, maybe down the line, you know, when I see him again or something like that. And then there is the WHOF. When hell freezes over, that's when I'm going to make an apology or an amends to this person. I have found the one was clear over there. And I ended up making amends to him fairly quickly in my other program. And it was like, oh my God.
That's a reminder for 5 more minutes, Sally.
Thank you, Debbie. So It's amazing what God does as far as putting people in your path that you know you owe an amends to. And so I take advantage of that when it happens, you know, because it says wherever, not whenever. Lot of people say whenever, and it's the wherever. And the wherever is important because, like I said, if I run into somebody and I owe them an amends, I'm going to say my amends. My sponsor told me she had heard this from another meeting that she goes to, that a guy said, you know, I'm sorry is an amends if you've never said it to that person before. And I thought, wow, that's deep. Because otherwise, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Well, yeah, you're a sorry mess. You know, what are you doing about it? Well, hopefully I've gotten rid of some of those character defects and I don't live like that anymore and I don't do those sort of things anymore. But, you know, is this person seeing a change in me? Have they seen a change in me? That's the true test of whether I've gotten rid of some of my character defects or not. I'll never get rid of them all, but I don't have to play in them either. I choose not to today. I try not to anyway. My sponsor's probably rolling her eyes right now. But I really do try very hard not to delve into them. Okay, so 8 and 9. Now I'm making these amends. And I have to do that humbly. I don't have to go, I'm not going to go, oh, hey, sorry about that. Catch you later. No, that's not an amends. I need to ask. Sometimes I need to ask. What did I do? If I don't know, what did I do? Because, like, when I was making the amends to my mom in with the other program, she says, you don't know what it's like. She says, you don't know what it's like to have a child that is an alcoholic and it's 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and you don't know if they're home yet, or you don't know if they're in the ditch, or you don't know if they're dead. You don't know what that's like. And that was overwhelming to me. Step 10, continue to take inventory, and when you're wrong, promptly admit it. I have a gut today. It's not the big gut that I had when I was out there eating. This one is a gut that comes up to my heart, and I know when I've done something wrong because I get literally sick to my stomach. When I know myself, now I may hurt somebody and I don't even realize it. And then it's like, oh my God, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that, you know, bot hurt you, bothered you, whatever. I'm sincerely sorry. What can I do to make it better? Now I know when I make a mistake because my body reacts to that mistake. And I know I've got to do something about it fairly quickly. 11 thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understand Him. Understanding God. Conscious contact for me is, well, I told the story the other day. I was driving home from Minnesota and I was almost out of gas. And I'm in bumper to bumper traffic going 5 miles an hour on the interstate. And I'm like, okay, God, you're in charge of everything. I know you know what's going on. What am I supposed to do? I did not know this was going to happen. I thought I was coming into a town that had a gas station.
1 minute, gentle reminder.
Thank you. Long story short, I see a sign for the town and it's called Hope. And I drive another half a mile and it says gas at that town called Hope. And I'm like, okay, God, you got my attention. Thank you very much. I talk to God a lot. I may not be. But I'm talking to God. I'm carrying on that conscious contact. Step 12, after having had a spiritual awakening, very important, after having a spiritual awakening, we carry the message to others and we practice these principles in all our affairs. That's not always easy to do. You know, I still, my character defects can pop up and then I'm not really carrying a very good message. I have to be on watch for that kind of stuff. You know, I do. I have to watch for that.